Hello, it's Wednesday, the 22nd of July, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Stelier. The mayor of New York, Zoran Mamdani, has admitted he can't arrest Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu after all when he visits New York for the UN General Assembly. In a lengthy video, Mamdani said he hoped federal authorities would arrest Netanyahu, citing his warrant from the International Criminal Court. Well, recently, the US Secretary of State Marco Rubio accused what he called third world governments of using that same court to undermine the West. Zineb Ribua is a research fellow at the Hudson Institute, and she's been writing and speaking about the ideology of third worldism for years. Today, she explains how she believes it's driving hostility towards Israel and undermining the West. Hear our conversation in a moment, but first the latest. Iran has expanded its missile campaign, launching fresh attacks this morning towards Jordan. Jordanian forces intercepted 6 missiles and 4 drones, with smoke seen rising over the Red Sea city of Aqaba as debris fell from the interceptions. The incident briefly disrupted air traffic in southern Israel, forcing an incoming passenger flight to delay its landing at Ramon Airport in Eilat, while authorities had to check the runway for debris. The United States has wrapped up an 11th straight night of strikes against Iranian targets as it seeks to weaken Tehran's grip on the Strait of Hormuz. At the same time, President Trump has vowed to strike Iran's underground Pickaxe Mountain facility, where US and Israeli officials believe Tehran is trying to rebuild its nuclear program. Meanwhile, the Pentagon says that the campaign so far has cost the United States $37.5 billion. President Trump has also reportedly approved a civilian nuclear agreement with Saudi Arabia. According to the Wall Street Journal, the deal would pave the way for American companies to help build the kingdom's nuclear industry and could even allow uranium enrichment on Saudi soil. The proposed 30-year agreement still requires congressional approval. It is likely to reignite concerns about nuclear proliferation in an already volatile region. Satellite images have revealed that the IDF is quietly building a vast sand barrier across Gaza, creating a new buffer zone between the Hamas-controlled areas and the territory now held by the IDF. The military says it's designed to prevent another October 7-style infiltration, but the project is also raising questions about Israel's long-term plans for Gaza and the future shape of the territory. A campaign urging people to track and report the whereabouts of Jewish and Israeli tourists in Italy has sparked outrage, with politicians and Jewish leaders comparing it to the blacklists of the 1930s. The online initiative called for the locations of Israelis, Jews and so-called Zionists to be logged, prompting demands for a criminal investigation. There are growing concerns over rising anti-Semitism across Europe. And Israel is set to welcome another embassy to Jerusalem. The Pacific island of Nauru has announced it will open an embassy in the Israeli capital in the next few months. That makes it the 9th country to do so. It's another diplomatic win for Jerusalem and reflects growing international recognition of the city as Israel's capital. Before we get to today's conversation, a reminder you can sponsor Israel in 10. Just drop us a line at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now here's Zineb Ribua. So question number one, why is Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, suddenly talking about third worldism?
I was very glad to see that Secretary Marco Rubio has been promoting the notion that third worldism is a threat, because it has indeed been a threat, not just in Latin America or in Africa, but also to the Middle East and to several Asian countries. And the problem has always been that third worldism, which is different from the third world, that it's really an ideology that sees that there should be a perpetual conflict between the North and the South, and that politics can only be understood that way, which is why a lot of these terrorist organizations get promoted as liberation movements when they actually are not, as they're serving the interests of other powers. At the time, it was the Soviet Union, and right now it's really about China and showing that the West is in decline and that China can only be the power to inherit all of that. So I think that there is an alignment here that Marco Rubio has put together, but also Americans have for a long time basically made their own enemies survive, especially when we think of a country like Cuba, but also of Iran.
Do you see Marco Rubio and Zoran Mamdani, the mayor of New York, kind of at the opposite ends of this spectrum?
I kind of do, but also I think Mamdani comes from a very I think of every third worldist tradition when one looks at the works of his father, of how he fixates on Israel, on anti-Zionism as the only way through which America can be this force of good. And I think that yes, there's a big contrast between them. And I think that Mamdani has been promoting third worldism in a way that not just harms New Yorkers, but also Americans overall.
Do you think with Rubio taking up this phrase and using this phrase, we might actually see the beginning of a pushback?
Yes, and I think that naming the threat is obviously the first step. But also, I think that there has always been a gap. For example, when people use the words of Islamists or communists, it doesn't really capture what Americans are dealing with, but it also doesn't really capture what other countries are dealing with. In fact, some of the most and adamant, I think, enemies of third worldism are quite often developing countries and countries of the third world that have tried that route of constantly using the resentment and the grievance and portraying the United States as the root of all of their problems. And it's just not working. That's not how you respond to policy. That's not how you conduct reforms. That's not how you have a higher human capital. And so I think that it helps not just the United States, but also other countries when it comes to collaborating with those same movements, against those same movements that have been harming their interests as well. People forget that Hamas is not popular in the Arab world. But so for some reason, it is in the West.
So given what you've just told me, how do we relate this to American support or waning support for Israel?
The advantage of using third worldism is that it makes it clear how Israel is actually weaponized and used as a proxy. People forget that the moment they actually agree on decolonizing Israel, they also agree on decolonizing America. They have accepted the premise that their country is illegitimate and they need to give up all of its power and riches and its wealth to benefit a utopia. That actually quite often this transforms into a dystopian scenario. And I think that this time it helps to make it very clear to people that every argument and every geopolitical debate they're having about Israel is not really about Israel. It's really about what they want America to be.
I mean, it was even dragged into the World Cup, wasn't it? The football was all about who's on Israel's side and who's with Palestine.
But I love watching the World Cup, and it's one of those sports where you actually want to put some politics aside and really just admire the athleticism of all of these, the athletic abilities of all of these soccer players. But yes, everything can be weaponized and can be used for this cause. But I think that they constantly use it. It's not just for the World Cup. It can be a simple song or a simple movie and so on. But I think that is what it really is about. It's also a cultural war that they're engaging with.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Thanks for watching or listening. And please do subscribe using the link below. Goodbye.